I would catch that money.
Fascinating. I mean, I cannot stop listening to it.
It's a good watch. It's a good watch. It really is.
What one?
Amber Heard and Johnny Depp. I'd
like to call to order the regular meeting of the Board of Directors of the Town of Discovery Bay. Can we all rise and follow Director Graham in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Can I have a roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Thank you very much. All right, this is our time for public comment. This would be if there is anybody in the room or online that would like to make a comment about an item that is not on the agenda. This would be your time to speak up. You have 3 minutes. If you would like to address the board, please raise your hand if you are online, if you know how to do that, or somehow indicate to our staff that you would like to speak. I will start in the room. Is there any public in the room that would like to speak? There is no public in the room. Well, would like to speak. Is there anything online? Going once, going twice. How we doing, Andy? We good?
You're good.
Okay. We'll close public comment then. I thank all of you out there in virtual land for coming to the meeting and paying attention. We appreciate that. I'd like to now move on to the consent calendar. Are there any items that are on the consent calendar that any of the directors would like to discuss further? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to accept.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any public comment? Do that on consent. Hearing none, all those in favor? Oh, excuse me. Mm-hmm. We're in the virtual world. Roll call vote.
Director Graham.
Aye.
Director Callahan.
Aye.
Director Coteau.
Aye.
Vice President Porter.
Aye.
And President Graves.
Aye. Thank you. We have no area agency reports, but we do have the privilege of hearing from our representative from Veolia and telling us how wonderful things are going at the plant. Hello, Anthony.
Good evening, Board. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay, on the first page, I'll bring you April 2022, sorry about that. We're currently at 4,628 sick working days. City doctors, including emergency animal wash, shower inspection, confined space, injury awareness, training on bacteriological site sampling plans, and we also had and observed the World Safety and Health Day that occurred last month. On the next slide. All six wells are currently active, and well five is still on standby. Next slide, please. Our water production for the Willow plant, we're at about 28 million. Newport plant, we're at about 51 million. And total, we are at 79 million for the month of April. And you can already start to see a big difference in last month versus this month of how much Newport really starts outpacing Willow. And that's because of the extensive use on the Newport side of the town. So really starting, and this is early yet. So sodium hydrochloride, we have 3,340 gallons, so pretty standard for this time of year. On the next slide. We still have our graphs showing the trend for the last 13 months or 12 months, including the month we're in. And on the next slide, we are showing Newport's as well. Then on the next slide, we have directed a total of 20 samples, none were positive, no water quality complaints, pattern flushing was zero, and exercise on zero.
Are we? When are you starting the hydrant flushing, or have you already done it?
We're setting up to do bioexercising and hydrant flushing at the same time.
Good.
So that we can try to make conserve time on man hours, labor, and to keep from having to come back out in public and stuff like that, blocking traffic with our equipment, try to kill two birds with one stone. So it's taking us some time to set that up. At the same time, we may only get part of it done before peak season, close our front. So we may push it to later, probably fall when we start getting out of peak season, so we don't affect the draw on the system.
Understood. Thank you.
Next slide. Lift stations, all 15 lift stations are active and running well. Next slide. Wastewater plant 1 is still offline. Wastewater plant 2 is still handling the load. We are at 32.9 million gallons, and this time last year we were at 32.87 million gallons. Polymer for April was still offline because the belt presses were still the majority offline. You will see in the next month's report that we are full force running the belt presses. We're moving a lot of solids out, so big difference. Now that the dredge is online, the new box has been refurbished. So you start seeing a lot of action there. On the next slide, we have a wastewater total flow graph. Monthly flow. Pretty stable. Mm-hmm. And then on the next slide, we have your average discharge flow. Next slide. I'm so sorry to show you all this.
It's our favorite slide. Come on.
Conductivity.
Oops.
First of the
oops.
We did exceed our worst enemy has come to bite as of last month. We did exceed. We were at about 25. I'll tell you the exact number on the next page.
2403.
There you go. So we are exceeding that. Now, again, that doesn't mean we approved the limit yet. We still have 12-month annual average with that count. So if by some chance we're able to reduce that somehow, we could barely be on the threshold. But it doesn't look like, since we're that high this early in the year, it's highly on.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
I know we're not on this next page, but we're getting to the next page where you have the conductivity annual average. Is there a way to add, like, where we're trending for, like, a rolling average? Because we see it month to month.
So this number that's on the next slide,
the
2403?
That is the rolling number. Okay. Well, then just kidding.
So but, as of now, we are literally, if we only had these months, we are right now at 2403 and our limit is 2400.
So we've already exceeded that and we still have six plus months to go.
Until we get to the 6-month mark and we get the rest of the 4 months to bounce out.
Okay.
But I knew it was
and that great. Was a significant jump between the last 2 months.
Usage, we're talking hotter. The water usage is going up because most of it seems to be coming from the groundwater. The more water you draw, the more it's hitting up.
I have another question. Looking at the various different maps, it seems like the April 2021 versus April 22. Mm-hmm. April 22 has gone up significantly in some of those areas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is that?
So
some more people.
It's all about how the system runs. Because at first we were looking at most of it being softeners and things like that, and marvelous of all, which we've got some on there. Now that we start digging into it, that it's more so on the groundwater side, it has to do with, remember that you're seeing the trend on the water earlier in the slide. Where some of the year, willow does most of the work. Willow has got the better of the lower conductivity. So when willow runs more, that average is brought down some. The problem is the entire aquifer is getting higher in conductivity the longer we draw on it, doesn't matter which plant. However, when New Fork takes the lead like it did, and that's a big difference even in April, when it starts taking the lead, it's got the most conductivity. So that's why it's hurting us, and you see that big jump. It's literally the conductivity is the same all across the wells, but it's more use of the higher conductivity wells that we have to depend on.
So the assumption is if Newport goes up in production, that conductivity follows with it.
That's
if
right.
Newport is down, we should hopefully see a trend lower.
Because Willow's got a 2, it says not quite as big. The problem is we can't force Willow to feed Newport's out of town. We've got bottleneck in the distribution system, so I know we can only do so much. What'll happen if we try to force it to run, we'll get the bind probably April and May-ish. If we force it too much, we'll start losing pressure on Newport's side.
Can to discuss this further, because I'm as interested in it as you are, can you put that on the wastewater committee agenda for us to discuss the conductivity a little bit so we understand it better and get Greg
have Jason that
Jason
will actually be doing a presentation later on for the, I don't know if it's the next wastewater meeting or, but he, if we're going to look at all the wells.
I really want to understand that a little bit more, because we've always just kind of went, well, we're close, and we really haven't understood why it's happening. And it sounds to me like we have a better handle now on why it's happening than we used to have.
Yeah.
So we'd like to discuss that at a committee level.
Yep. We're going.
Okay.
Thank you.
Two questions for you. With the increase in our population with the small development on Newport and then with Contagious, will the state be adjusting any of our limits on anything and raising them up?
So this limit is not water related. This is where the rec, even though the water system, the groundwater is already in the brunt of the problem, right now it's not affecting the water system, it's affecting the wastewater output. Mm-hmm. We are trying to meet with the permitting department of the state and to see if we can do some increases in water options are going to be, but at this time we haven't met yet. So it's a gamble. We might have a 50-50 chance that they might increase the limit for us and buy some more time, but they may not. This is considered a minor violation, so if this is the only violation we have, there would be a maximum $3,000 fine for the year. We can't be in any violation for the same thing in the same calendar year. So we do have a chance for trying. I thought that would be the best thing. Any other alternatives to try to mitigate it right now are very costly because it's literally salts and limit these water. Basically, the rule of thumb is the more we conserve water and the less water we pump or use to the system, the more solids, the more salts, things like that are in the system, and that's why we're filling the wastewater out. And we have no ability to remove it from the current treatment plants.
Have we got any comments or complaints of water pressure?
Not yet. Not in the last, actually, it's been a while. The last two water quality complaints we had were roughly about 6-7 months ago, and both of them were higher than 90 per hour.
That's kind of why I want to talk about it in committee, Anthony, though, because it sounds like we're getting an idea of why it's happening, and maybe we can take that back to the state and get that. Because we can actually bring them evidence of why this is occurring, and it really doesn't have, we have no control over it, and therefore, hey, you know, that's what I'm thinking. Anyway, go ahead with your, sorry, we interrupted.
I think it's a simple question, but it might not be. So, is our aquifer just one giant lake or river underneath?
It's an underground river. Most aquifers are underground rivers. The same rivers that flow on top of the earth now used to flow on top of the earth, now flow underground.
So all the wells that we currently have, are they all tapping into the same river?
The same aquifer, right. They're just at slightly different depths, and by geographic locations, covering one base, not that big, they're fairly close together.
And so what affects the protection levels of some of the different wells is...
So it depends on the level of the aquifer at that particular hole. Because as y'all know, like with well one, we're on the second well one. Mm-hmm. The first well one had drastically different water. Right now we're having troubles, or in the past we've had a lot of troubles on well five. And well five is enormously worse in almost every aspect, not just connectivity. However, in recent years we didn't have problems with well seven. Before, now we're starting to see that increase in also. So the water underground moves just like it does above ground.
So is the depth of the well based on, is that the access point of the water, or can we go deeper then?
That's being investigated. If we can go to deeper aquifers or deeper portions of the aquifers, that's what we're waiting on. On the slide, the left off on all other besides gun activity, all the other numbers are well within limit. For removal rate for BOD is 99%, and TSS removal is 90%. No detect on arrest, so the voice bar is not running great. The next slide. And I don't have a slide for it, but I would like to invite all the board members, all of the Discovery Bay County staff. Friday, June the 3rd.
Two o'clock.
We are going to try to supply town visitors something decent to eat. Come out to Whistler Plant 2, meet with our current staff. This has been the first time that I'm aware of since probably prior to COVID, and maybe last since Bernie was here. So we're going to try to invite y'all.
What time?
Anytime y'all want to come between 12 and 2. Mm-hmm. On Friday, y'all want to stay a little longer, that's fine. But this one we're going to try to have the meal ready. We're going to have several different things, so if some folks are picky about meat, they're thankful, whatever we're going to have as much as we can. I probably won't cook for y'all this time. I want to see what y'all like first, but eventually I might offer some Cajun cooking. So y'all are welcome to come.
June 3rd.
Day before the shindig.
Shindig.
That's right.
Yeah, thank you for that, Anthony.
And
appreciate it.
Welcomes all of your staff and Fort Chris to come out.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Finally did.
Appreciate it. Any questions?
Well, we asked them all.
Thank you.
Okay, we're at the point of action items. Item one is to approve Resolution 2022-16, which has to do with our getting our money. So I'll turn it over to Julie for her report.
Good evening. As you're aware, November 3rd, 2021, Resolution 2021-15 authorizing the appointment of our general manager as the district's treasurer. And on December 8th, the county board of supervisors approved the resolution. On April 20th, we actually got our first funds transfer. So we are now our own treasurer. We have enough money right now to be independent. And with that, we need to change our bylaws. And in our bylaws, it had Contra Costa County as the treasurer. So what we are proposing today is a change to our bylaws. And it's the amended board policy, board policy number 2. And it is changing the treasurer from Contra Costa County to our general manager. Questions?
Any clarifying questions from the board? I have a couple. I noticed in your presentation you said we got some money. We don't have all of, they still have money that is coming in from our ratepayers in their account that hasn't been transferred over yet, is that correct?
That is correct, but I was notified on Friday the 13th that the balance of our funds will be transferred next week. We will be fully independent by the end of next week.
And are, do 100% of those funds go into BAC?
They do.
Are we FDIC, are we under the FDIC insured limit on that? Okay.
You're actually collateralized by the bank.
Okay, thank you. You guys are a step ahead as usual. Just want to be sure. yeah. All right, is there any comment or from the public? Oh, Chad left. Huh?
Not at this time.
Nothing? Okay. I'll bring it back to the board for vote, or motion, excuse me.
I make a motion that we approve Resolution 2022-16, amending the board policy change the county being our treasurer to the general manager as the district treasurer.
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, can I get a roll call vote, please?
Aye.
Director
Coteau? Aye.
Vice President Porter?
Aye.
And President Graves?
Aye. Okay, great. Item two.
Okay, the last item we discussed was we were changing our bylaws, and in order to do that, we had to have a resolution. We also had another and looked at any all the policies to see if we had any place else where it was referred to as the Contra Costa County as our treasurer. We found one other policy, and it's our investment policy. And we would like to amend this policy to reflect the change to the general manager as our treasurer. We just need a vote on this item.
We go through a lot of stuff, and I'm sure we did discuss this at one time, but is the naming the title or the individual's name? In other words, does it say the general manager, whoever that might be? I know it didn't say it, but is it the title that we're putting it on, or are we putting it on the current general manager?
We're putting it on the title.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the board? Then, are there any comments from the public on this?
Not at this time.
Okay, then I will close public comment and I will bring it back to the board for a motion.
Motion to approve staff recommendation.
Second.
Okay, can I get a roll call vote, please?
Aye.
Director
Tell.
Aye.
Aye.
Vice President Porter.
Aye.
President Graves.
Aye. Thank you, Julie, very much for that. I'm glad we're cleaning this thing up and getting it rolling. It's kind of exciting.
Thank you.
We're now at the time of manager's report. Gregory Harris is in there.
Yes, if I may let you know, Gregory Harris is trying to get onto the website, so maybe if we can.
Let's
give him
move
time.
To item two, yes, and let's have our assistant general manager give us a briefing on that situation with the sound wall, please.
Okay, good evening, board. As the board is aware, another section of the Cypress Landing sound wall has toppled onto the landscaping that borders the south edge of South Sandpoint Road. By way of background, problems with the sound wall first came to the attention of town staff when on April 26, 2019, a section of backyard fencing had toppled onto the town landscaping along the west side of Discovery Bay Boulevard between Sandpoint Road and Seal Way. The homeowner was contacted and had the debris removed. However, despite numerous requests to replace the fence, the homeowner ignored doing so for about 3 years. It's now been replaced. Staff contacted management of the Cypress Landing HOA and was informed that the sound wall was not on HOA common property and that the HOA had no responsibility for replacing the fence or maintaining the perimeter fence within the HOA. So, Contra Costa County Code Enforcement was contacted to see if they could do anything, and staff was told that the county does not have a fence ordinance unless the fence is at least 7 feet tall. So the staff asked if there was a county ordinance that involved the swimming pool that was back there. We could try to work that angle, and we were told no, that the county follows state law regarding swimming pools, and a fence is not required around the swimming pool. Staff asked if there was anything the county could do to require homeowners or the HOA to replace and maintain that fence, and they said there was nothing they could do. We tried numerous things. So on March 4, 2020, we tried New Ink, and the town's board president sent a letter to Supervisor Burgess's office requesting that a county ordinance or other suitable legal mechanism be adopted in order to address the problem. There's no ordinance, let's make one. Staff was informed that the supervisor's office would have someone look into it. Staff was later contacted by staff at Contra Costa County, and in essence, that just blew us off. We offered to have our legal staff help draft it. They still said, all right, we'll get back to you, and never did. Staff again contacted the supervisor's office regarding a fence ordinance and was told that they would institute an effort once again once Supervisor Burgess became president of the board. That has come about. Currently, we still have debris on our landscaping from the latest sound wall collapse. Staff's plan is to put together a letter to the homeowners with the assistance of legal counsel to get the mess cleaned up. Legal has also suggested that Contra Costa County be asked to take enforcement action regarding the condition of the remaining sound wall as essentially a dangerous nuisance. So I'll turn it over to our legal counsel, Andy Panasco, to tell you a little bit more about that approach.
Thank you, Mike. So, as you know, the town of Discovery Bay, we're a special district with limited authority, limited powers. And being that the county agency, or the county, is the land use authority, we're kind of handcuffed as to what we can and can't do. When we came up with this nuisance angle, what we were thinking was the county does have nuisance authority. And what nuisances are when something is in disrepair or something is a danger to the safety of the public, the county will go ahead and notify the owner of that structure, facility, whatever it is, and determine it to be a nuisance, and then request that they bring it into either compliance or into a safe condition. Or if they don't do that within a certain period of time, the county will go out and abate it. Abatement doesn't solve our problem, however. What abatement would do is the county would come in and they would either remove it or they would put it into a safe condition. They wouldn't build a new fence. So if there's a fence, there's one portion of the fence and it was crumbling, they would come in and they'd make two clean cuts, remove the dangerous materials, and now we have a gap in the fence. So unfortunately, like Mike was talking about earlier, without any sort of fence ordinance in order for them to enforce or force a property owner to do something, the county's limited on their authority as well. So that is a process that the county can go through. And it is also a process that would put pressure on a property owner. But again, it's not a silver bullet.
Is there some way to put pressure on the HOA as well?
So I think we've contacted the HOAs we've reached out to them and indicated that, hey, you guys have CC&Rs, so those are the restrictions that are within each one that the HOA enforces. It's like the HOA's laws. But the HOA has always come back to us and said, not common property or property owner's responsibility, and it doesn't seem to be terribly interested in it. You can always contact the HOAs. You can always send a letter to them saying, hey, this looks terrible. It's a safety. We want to draw really back into what our jurisdictional component is. We provide, in these areas, lighting and landscaping. So that means that we have personnel that go out there and work within our lighting landscaping areas. And if we got a fence that's going to be falling on top of our staff, that's a concern to us. Additionally, like Mike was saying, when the fences do fall onto our property, that's trespass. We can enforce. We own that property just like anybody else. We have legal rights. We can send them a letter and go through the process. It's a civil action. That goes also for the portions of the fence that are held up by a stake. There's a stake, and that stake comes into our property. So we can control our property. But as far as the HOAs, we're really just asking them to do something, and then it's really within their kind of authority as to what they're going to do.
Andy, but at the end of the day, I don't think the town cares whether a fence gets put up or doesn't get put up. And I'm just kind of speaking out of turn here, maybe, but I think what the town cares about is the safety aspect of having the current condition of the fence and having our workers potentially being harmed by that.
And that's the angle, because that's really where our authority lies.
Right, so this might have to go to closed session, but I would imagine that we have a position that we can take against the HOA potentially.
Well, you can send a letter, you can force the HOA to get off of your property. So that's encroachments, that's broken fences on top of our property. But as far as a dangerous condition that is going to potentially harm one of our employees, and that's kind of an interesting.
It has to happen first.
It's an interesting position because in the sense that they're maintaining a nuisance, that's where the county's authority lies, because they're really the land use authority. So we can, that would be our nuisance angle. That's the line of thought we're thinking.
So, just to add some clarity, the documents that I have included from the HOA says, we have a legal opinion saying, we're not responsible, it's not ours, go somewhere else.
So,
Well, okay, so for clarity, and I've asked this question before, and I don't know if we have yet have an answer to it or not, but when Lusk built that area out, somebody said you have to put a sound wall up, and I would imagine that would have been the county, and they didn't tell each individual homeowner to put up that wall. They told the developer to put up that wall, so that became common property for the development. Why is the HOA not held to that standard of that the conditions of approval for that piece of property that said you have to put up a sound wall? Or maybe they put it up voluntarily, but still somewhere in the documents it says we're putting up this sound wall, the developer. The developer turns over the common property to the HOA, that sound wall becomes part of the common property.
Well,
because the homeowners didn't put it up.
We tried that theory, and we've never gotten any feedback back from the county on it. I've talked to the staff about that on two occasions. The reply to that may be, we fulfilled the conditions of building and approval, and that included erecting a sound wall. We did it. We fulfilled our obligation. That obligation is not an ongoing obligation. Just like we put in the interior fences when we originally built the property.
But they did. They probably didn't. They probably, each individual bought their own fence.
I can tell you, I did find one clause within the documents because I went scoured through the documents that the individual homeowners are responsible for maintaining the sidewall, the side fences on their property. Nowhere does it address the backyard fence.
But by the lack of addressing that, it insinuates that it's common property. It doesn't belong to the homeowners.
And actually, if I actually have documentation that contradicts what you're saying.
What? I'd love to see it.
Yeah, I have the documentation, because I've seen a lot of homes over there. Mm-hmm. And I have documentation that clearly states from the HOA that there is a reserve fund that they're collecting for sound wall maintenance.
And I'm familiar with that, and I addressed that with the Homeowners Association, and they said unequivocally, yes, we have a section of sound wall that is on common property, and that is what that fund is for, to maintain the sound wall that is clearly on HOA property.
Well, the documentation I have doesn't articulate it like you just articulated it. It's very vague.
That's what they are saying according to their legal.
So can I ask one more question? Because I know we're talking about Cypress Landing that has HOA, and we're going to the county saying that this is a nuisance, but really this is a bigger safety issue, right?
Well, it's a safety issue.
It's a safety issue to our crew. But this would also address a bigger issue, right? Because we have other developments that do not have HOAs that probably have similar wall issues that an HOA, we can't discuss it. So if the county comes in and says we are asking the county to come up with a code enforcement on sound walls, that will address everything.
That's what
correct?
We would like in an ordinance, because this is not just about Cypress Landing. Along Clipper Drive and those homes in there, I have concerns on that. And we
also
are,
Newport.
The county is essentially saying we're powerless.
No, there's no HOA.
An ordinance. We're saying, well then, put up an ordinance, and we'll even have our legal help you. Now, you don't understand how complicated that is, and I just got a lot of rigmarole.
But it's going to become a bigger issue because some of those walls are fairly old.
So let's bring it back. I don't think any of us are satisfied, as well as staff, satisfied with the response we're getting from either the county or the HOA. But we're probably not going to resolve that issue right now. Let's talk about the issue at hand, and the issue at hand is we have a situation where our landscapers can't work. We can't do what we're tasked to do by the county, which is to maintain the landscaping that's there, correct? Is that our land or is that county land?
That is our land. That
okay.
Zone
then we're then our landscape department is tasked by this board to maintain that area, and they can't do it because the walls are laying in it. How do we address the immediate problem?
Well, we are going to work with legal to draft a letter to those homeowners.
Can I make a suggestion? Can I make a suggestion that we draft that letter to the HOA and CC the homeowners? Because I'm not willing to give up on the, I'm not willing to absolve the HOA of responsibility.
Well, if we, if, and I'll ask Andy about this, we can make it to both of them.
That's what I'm, that's what I would like.
CC the homeowners are going up. This town thinks it's the HOA. This is just for our information.
Well, there's a method to that, though. I mean, there's a strategy in that. The board is elected by the homeowners. If I was a homeowner there and I had an inclination that it was an HOA responsibility, I'd rather have 100 and, or how many homes are in there?
107, I think.
Whatever. Help pay for my fence instead of me having to pay for it by myself.
And I know that there have been several homeowners trying to coalesce a group to force that upon the HOA that has in the past pushed back completely in that regard. I don't know what it would be today, but I would suggest then, using your suggestion, we address the letter both to the HOA and to the individual homeowner.
Right, and ultimately, you're probably correct. Ultimately, I think if we were to bring a civil case, it would be each individual homeowner we'd be end up going after, because we don't seem to have the proof we need to involve the HOA, unfortunately. But I'm not giving up on the HOA yet either. I think we may be able to find that proof, or if we can ever get the county to respond in a positive way to hold those conditions of approval as being, you can't just, you know, the conditions of approval is that you put this culvert in for drainage between this street and this street. Well, the culvert collapsed. Well, that's not mine anymore. I built it, I was conditioned for, well, no, you have to maintain it and it has to continue to work.
What we'll do is also set up, we have numerous photographs and of the fence the way it is right now. I think it would probably behoove us to send those to Supervisor Burgess's office saying the need for this ordinance is at a critical stage, especially when it comes to the safety of our personnel that have to maintain.
Can we expand those pictures to some of the areas that are not HOA? I mean, you walk Clipper, those walls don't look great. You walk Newport, those walls don't look great.
And you can see rotten wood on those.
And we're getting ready to do a major rehaul on Clipper, where our staff is there doing a lot of work. Heaven forbid one of those walls falls on them. Those are not wood.
Well, fortunately, the trees have been trimmed along there, so we don't have to worry about those falling down.
Such a funny man.
Well, that's just a report.
I appreciate.
You know where we're at and what we're doing, and we appreciate the suggestion.
I would, is there any action that the board would like to recommend to staff at this time? I would like to see staff move ahead with drafting letters to the homeowners as soon as possible, explaining to them that we will have to remove those sections of wall, and then if we have to go to small claims court over these and sue you for what the cost of the walls. We're not going to put up another wall, but we definitely got to remove the walls that are within there, and also cease and desist using our property without permission.
Yep.
However legal sees that happening, but I think that it is a now this is does this take a motion or is this just a
no, it can be just staff direction.
Is it can I get some feedback from the rest of the board? Does that sound like the right thing to do?
Yeah, absolutely.
A starting point.
Absolutely.
Okay. There you go. Thank you, Mike. Is Greg Harris on the line?
Yes.
You know, if you were here, you wouldn't have this problem.
I'm here, guys.
That's not what I said.
Hey, I'm here in spirit, guys. Come on.
Okay, Greg, it's good to hear your voice. I'm glad you're on here. Can you address item one, the diffuser project, for us?
Yes. So Gregory Harris, Herbert Engineering. We're the district engineer for the town of Discovery Bay. And as you know, we've been working on the diffuser replacement project for several years now in the town of Discovery Bay. And the diffuser is important because it mixes our wastewater from the treatment plant in Old River. And there's been several board actions along the way, but we hired Advisian to do a preliminary design report. And then ultimately we hired Advisian to do the final design and all the permitting on the project. Mike Urach and I have been working with Envision to get the project out to bid. The bids were due last Friday, and we did not receive any bids on the project. It was surprising because we had five bidders at the job walk list, at the job walk prior to bid. And one of those bidders was the original bidder, Dutra, that built the diffuser, and we seemed to have a lot of interest on the job walk, but we got no bids from the project. We since then have contacted the bidders to kind of find out why are we not getting any bids. And they kind of had three sort of general categories of issues. The first is that there's a lot of demands on equipment right now with COVID and the people coming out of COVID and the supply chain issues that have resulted because of that, and there's a lot of projects out. And so there was some uncertainty about how fast they could build the project with some of the project requirements that the permitting agencies required to have us have. And as a result, they saw a lot of risk with the project, and they weren't sure that they could necessarily marshal all the equipment that was needed. So several people dropped out because of that reason. Also, the ones that were kind of hanging in there saw the prices going up significantly and trying to comply with the permit conditions for the project. And they were trending over double the engineer's estimate of $500,000, which is a substantial cost. So bid day came and went, and we got no bids. So we're moving on to the next step in our purchasing policy, which is allowing direct negotiations with the bidders. We are in direct negotiations with Dutra Engineering and Power Engineering. And Dutra is the one that built the diffuser in the first place. Power Engineering is the equivalent kind of firm to Dutra. And we're basically working with them to try and find out what is scaring them off the project, what environmental conditions are holding them back, and what construction requirements are giving them pause. And we're gonna see which ones of those we can eliminate and then directly negotiate a bid with one of those two. We'll bring those back to the board for approval when we get something. We have some preliminary deadlines, May 20th. They're supposed to give us any environmental input so we can go back to the Army Corps of Engineers to try and get a revision to our Army Corps permit. And then we told everybody we need final proposals and a decision made by June 8th so that we can come on the following board meeting on the June 15th board meeting for action. So it's kind of unusual, but it's such a unique project and the unique conditions going on in the supply chain right now that this is where we're at.
And they are aware of the fact that we are pre-purchasing some of the stuff that they would be concerned about getting, correct?
Yeah, you know, a lot of their concern was around the hydraulic dredging. Previously, they used clamshell dredging, and the Army Corps of Engineers wanted us to switch to hydraulic dredging. Well, there's a big demand on hydraulic dredge equipment in the bay, and the other thing going on is whenever they do in-water work, the Army Corps of Engineers and Department of Fish and Game, they specify a certain window where it won't hurt the fish. And that window for us is September through October, those two-month period. But they specify for everybody else during the same period. So everybody tries to do their in-water work at the exact same time because that's all the permitting agency allows. Well, you know, we're a little project. You know, Dutra's bidding a $50 million project. You know, we're a lousy $500,000 project over here. So, you know, we're not moving the needle much.
Is Dutra still headquartered in Rio Vista?
I think so.
Yeah. I sold them a copier one time. Anyway. So this is just informational at this point. We appreciate your hard work, and we will make sure that legal stays informed of what's going on, so because we have public bid and these kind of things that we're probably going to have to that won't be an issue because we are not getting competitive bids. Is that correct?
So the town complied with all the competitive bid laws.
Okay.
And
that's what I meant to say.
That's where we're in compliance with our policy. We're in compliance with the competitive bid laws, and now we're moving on to the next steps.
I'm going
to
ask a tough question. Based on the fact that you're dealing with just two people now, and they probably know it. Do you think that our budget is going to be way out of whack now?
Well, talking to him, the only person that was going to bid was going to build double our budget. I'm hoping, I've talked to them, if we can get the hydraulic dredge, change the clamshell dredge, we can get that back down a little bit. But I think our budget is going to be out of whack, yes.
I had to ask.
Start planning that bake sale.
Okay, yeah, right. Gregory, you have anything else to add?
No, that's it, and we'll be back on the 15th with hopefully a recommendation and a proposal so we can try and move this forward.
Fantastic. I don't know if you were on the line earlier when Veolia Water let us know that they are going to be doing a little get-together and some food for staff and the board on June 3rd from 12 to 2, but we would love to see you there so that we can meet, talk, and discuss things on a very loose level. If you're available on that day, that would be awesome.
Okay, sounds great.
All right. I'm sorry, Anthony, I extended your invitation. Okay. Thanks, Greg. Is he still on the line? If he comes in too high, we'll throw him in the ox ditch.
Chair, where is the dredging thing taking place?
Because remember that it's buried. The diffuser is buried. It's just the hats that come up.
So rather than
just come in and dig up muck and put it down, they want to do it hydraulically, which just displaces it, and then you drop it in, and then it's I don't know if it's the system is less environmentally disrupting, probably, is what they're thinking, but we may have to ask for a variance on that if in fact we can't get it done the way that they're asking us to, and then that might be to our benefit from a financial standpoint too. So, anyway, not that that would be the motivation, but it might be a byproduct.
Chair, if I could.
Yes.
So, the meeting for Veolia with all the board members attending is completely fine under the Brown Act, being that it is Veolia's event. However, we have to participate in Veolia's event, so any town business that would be discussed, such as, you know, conversations with...
I realized that halfway through my invitation, and that's why I said very loosely. You notice I uttered the term very loosely. Really, all we'll probably do is take a tour of the plant, but not discuss how it works. I don't know.
Yeah, so it would be participate in the Veolia. We're
going to participate in the Veolia, but we just want to see Greg's smiling face. That's really all we want to do.
I'll see you there.
Thank you, Greg. I was kidding about throwing you in the ox dish.
Assistant Junior Counsel.
Okay.
Assistant Junior Counsel.
Well, what? What happened? Don't we have some big cement vaults out there right now? Yeah. General Manager's Report.
Okay, I just wanted to remind everybody that on June 4th, we have our town hall event from 11 to 1. Those individuals that are coming to set up tables and informational items can be there around 10 a.m. to set up their booths. At this time, we have Veolia Water, which will have a table. Herwood Engineering and all staff will have their projects on tables to discuss. We've invited the Sheriff Department and they're going to come. And we've asked Tony to maybe, if he can, do some type of a kids table for kids' safety, for parents. The Brentwood Press is attending and Rec 800. We do have many more invitations out, and so I will let you know as those people respond.
Oh, wow,
so
it'd be great to see
that's
you.
What Rec 800. Got.
Rec 800 there, that'd be great. Okay. Any director's reports? It's been a busy month. I would remind everybody that we have a meeting coming up next Thursday. Is it next Thursday?
It's tomorrow.
That's the next Thursday.
The board workshop.
Yes, I would remind the board that we have a meeting tomorrow at 4 o'clock, budget meeting.
3 o'clock. 3 o'clock, budget workshop.
Maybe he's going to another meeting.
3 o'clock,
and
budget
then,
workshop.
And then, so there are no director's reports. Are there any regional meetings? And no correspondence. Hearing no other items, I would now close.
Before you do that, we have a closed session item.
My bad. Before we close the meeting, the board will now move into closed session. Legal?
Yes.
So the town of Discovery Bay will adjourn to closed session to address the item listed on the agenda as N.